Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Here again in God's house, and looking forward to what God is going to do here over these next few minutes. Please pray for me too. How many of y'all have been having a battle with the pollen and the sinuses? I'm glad I'm not the only one. I got ready to speak to somebody this morning when I got ready to open my mouth. It was like a gnat flew in there and couldn't hardly get a word out. So I'm like, Lord, help me to get through today. And I've been taking some stuff. My mom told me a while back. She said, you need to take one of those little certs up there with you and just put it in and kind of, you know, use that while you're up there preaching. That would help your throat. And then when that cert dissolves, that means you need to stop preaching. You know, Mama's got some good advice. She told me that one time, and she said that the guy was standing up there preaching and put the cert in his mouth and thought he had anyway, but what he had done was reach in his pocket and grabbed an extra button. And so he might be preaching somewhere right now, still preaching. But y'all, seriously, you pray for me, and we'll get through this with the Lord's help. Amen. So last Sunday, I started a series I'm calling, as we lead up to Easter, I'm calling it One. Each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. Each one representing you and me, the church. Reach one representing someone that is unsaved. Each one, reach one. God's purpose is for you and me to reach out to the unsaved, that each one would reach one. And my heart is for all of us to line ourselves up to God's purpose for us to be able to reach one so they can become one in Christ. You find that, and actually, I don't have it up there on the screen, but that is God's purpose for us to reach one so they can become one in Christ and become one in body in John 17. You can look it up later. But that is God's purpose for us. I hope you realize that His purpose is for us, each one, to reach one. And last week you saw from God's word that if we're going to fulfill God's purpose and each one is going to reach one, it's going to require us to actually care. We need to actually care that people are unsaved. We need to care that they're lost spiritually. And not only must we care, but we must have courage to share. We have to care to share, and we have to have courage to share. We have to have courage because, as Paul mentioned, even in John the Baptist's day, the culture there was full of hostility toward the gospel, and we live in that culture today. And it's going to require us to have courage. We have to care to share, and we have to have courage to share. Well, today, I want to just take a few minutes and talk to you about if we're going to line our lives up to God's purpose. And how many of you want to live out God's purpose? You want God's purpose accomplished in your life. You want to live in His purpose. And for each one to reach one, we must be willing to go. Say go. Now, Billy Graham, all of us know Billy Graham's ministry, the impact that he made all over the world, reaching millions of people with the gospel. He gave this quote one time, and I agree with what he's saying here. He said, "It's every preacher's heart that when the people leave church, they not leave church saying how much they enjoyed the message, but when they leave church saying, how can I go and do something for Jesus Christ with my life?" That's my desire. That's my heart, is that when we leave this place, it's not We enjoyed the service, or we enjoyed a message, but how can I go and do something for Jesus Christ with my life? And that's our goal, is to be used by God to bring glory to His name through Jesus Christ. And it's His will for us to go and share for His glory, for each one to go. That's the heart of God. You find that, I shared it last week in the Gospel of Mark. In the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Jesus went on to say in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 10:7, He says, "As you go, preach this message that the kingdom of heaven is near." The angel of the Lord even told Peter and John while they were in prison, "Go and stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." God's purpose for each one to reach one is going to require us to go and share Jesus. It's going to require us to go. God wants His people, the church, to go, to be on the move in His purpose. We need to go to the lost, to the lame, to the rich. We need to go to the poor, the outcast, the homeless, the addict, the confused, the broken. We need to go to anyone who is unsaved. We need to be willing to go to anyone that is unsaved. I thought about it last night, just taking time to pray for the service. You know, I wouldn't even be standing right here right now. I don't believe I would be standing right here right now preaching the gospel. Some of you wouldn't be here as well if it wasn't for a man who fulfilled God's purpose and was able to go and share the gospel. Pastor Doug Bartlett, he was on go. He went to my house. He left the walls of this building to go to my house and share the gospel with me. And because of that, somebody that was crippled spiritually, blinded spiritually, lame spiritually, lost, God got a hold of my heart. And God, some of you, He done the same thing for you because somebody was willing to go. Aren't you thankful somebody was willing to go for you? Jesus was willing to go for you. The Bible says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He says, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And this morning, I want to share with you just a picture of what the church should be doing in these last days through a parable that Jesus shared in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 14, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 24. Now let me find it here and I'll be right with you. I'm going to read it to you. It's Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 15 through 24. And this is a parable of Jesus inviting people to come to His kingdom banquet. It's a parable about an invitation to come to Christ. It's a parable about a servant being sent to go and extend an invitation to come to Christ. I'm going to pick up here, and I'll tell you what, let me pick up on verse 16. "A certain man was preparing a great banquet," this is Jesus speaking, "and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' And the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Father, help me to preach your word. God, to do it, Lord, in a way that would glorify you. Fill my heart with your love, to speak in your love, to preach in your love, God. And I pray, God, that your word will not return void. That's your promise. So, God, I do only what you can do now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to first notice there in that parable something that applies to us, that we must go invite people who are unsaved. We must go invite people. Write that down. We must go and invite people. In verse 16 and 17, it says that the man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Go and invite unsaved people. Unsaved people. Unsaved people. That's who we're looking for. We're not looking for other church people. We're not about stealing sheep from another flock. We are about reaching the unsaved. And God help us to invite the unsaved people. Unsaved people. Last week I shared with you that 82% of people who had never been to church said they would come to church if a friend invited them. 82% said they would come to church if a friend invited them. Listen to me, church. There is power in an invite. There is power in an invite. Just extending an invitation for somebody to come. That's why last Sunday we shared with the church about these Easter invite boxes. And thank God many of you took one, because you're each one is going to reach one, and you are praying about that one, and you are inviting that one to come and be with us for our Easter services. We have a little over 100 more boxes left in the foyers here. If you didn't take one last Sunday, take one today, please. Take one today. This box is the invitation. All you have to do is full of some candy, has some eggs. You might want to add some more candy, but just put it into their hands and invite them to come on Easter Sunday, because they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to believe that lost people are going to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. So please, if you didn't take one last Sunday, take one this Sunday with you. And make sure that you put it in somebody's hand, that one that you're praying for. If I ride through the parking lot at the Food Line or Roses or any other place, and I see your box just sitting on the dash, burning in the sun, I'm gonna punch a hole in your tires. Amen. Lord, that's terrible that the preacher said that, ain't it? Lord, forgive me. Make sure you invite someone. How many of you got that one that you're praying for, that one that you want to see come to Christ? In this parable, you tell that child I was just kidding about cutting their tires. In this parable, Jesus puts the priority on making sure that we're moving, that we're going, that he says, I'm sending my servant. Make sure we go. He puts the priority on the invitation. The invitation Jesus offers is the greatest invitation of all. And he's still inviting people today by saying, come, all things now already. Nothing more needs to be done for the salvation of your soul. Jesus Christ, he finished the work of redemption when he died on the cross and when he rose from the grave. The banquet is prepared, the feast is ready, and the invitation has been given to all people. And so we got a wonderful message to share, a great invitation to give, and that is for the salvation of your soul. But sadly, the Bible says in verse 18 that the ones that had been invited, they all alike began to make excuses. They began to make excuses. Many people today have a lot of excuses. What is an excuse? What is an excuse? An excuse is something used to justify a fault or to justify a failure. Have you noticed that the culture that we live in right now, it seems like everybody has some kind of excuse? That's where we live today. There's always excuses. In fact, I heard about four college freshmen who hung out together and were more interested in having fun than going to class. And they were always late for class because they knew that their professor was a pushover. So they were always full of excuses why their work was not being done or why they didn't make it to class. And when it came time for their final exam, they were late to class. And about the time everyone else was finishing the exam, these four young men showed up giggling and told the professor that they had had a flat tire, so they wanted to make up the exam a little later. And the professor said, "No problem. You boys have a seat here in all four corners of the room, and I'm going to give you a special exam with just one question. And if all four of you answer the question correctly, I'm going to pass you with an A. But if you miss it, you're going to fail my class for the year." And he wrote the question, four questions, on a separate sheets of paper, and he handed it to them, and he stood in the middle of the room, and they were still giggling until they opened up the paper and they saw the question. The single question for the final exam was, which tire was flat? Heywood Quinn, that sounds like something you would do. They realized they were done for, and their excuses had finally caught up with them. How many of you know that all of our excuses are going to soon catch up with us? All of our excuses are going to soon catch up with us. The Bible says they were invited, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first excuse was this right here. "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it." And he said, "Please excuse me," which was only an excuse not to go to the banquet. The man's excuse was he was too involved with his business affairs, his work affairs. A person can become too involved in any business transaction. A person can become too involved with their profession, with their work, and they allow other things to consume their life. Jesus has to be the center of a person's life and the one around whom all else revolves. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be given unto you." No matter what. And those are legitimate things with our business, our work, but it can't take the place of God. This man missed the banquet to come to Christ because he had more of a desire for the worldly things than he did the spiritual things, and that was his excuse. The second excuse, the man says, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me," he said. This man here was wrapped up in new purchases. These oxen had just been bought, he said. They were a new possession, and the owner wanted to try them out. And that's how it is in life with new things. We have new possessions and new toys, and those things are fine, but they should never keep us from serving God and following Christ. I've met a lot of people who do all they can in life to try to gain new things, putting things over a relationship with Jesus, when Jesus told us in the Gospel of Matthew, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul?" And then the third excuse, this man said, "I just got married, so I can't come." I can understand that one right there. Amen. I mean, I can understand how right there, you know. Lord, help the preacher today. I'll be like, "Lord, happy wife, happy life." You know what somebody told me one time? They said, "Man, you ought to be able to convince anybody to come to Christ." I said, "Why is that?" They said, "Well, if you convince Lisa to marry you, you can convince anybody." I was like, they got a point. This excuse here is not about putting marriage in the wrong priority. It's not about, you know, looking at marriage in a negative way. Marriage is ordained by God, but here's the point of the lesson here that Jesus is trying to tell us. This is about being careful not to get involved in relationships that keep us from following Jesus. No, listen, I don't care. No relationship, family, friend, whatever, should be put before the Lord. Jesus should be our number one priority in all of our relationships. And hear me, church, in this parable, the people were invited to the banquet, but they refused the invitation because they were more focused on the pleasures, the possessions, and people. And friend, you can have all the pleasures in life, you can have all the possessions in life, you can have a great crowd of people around you, but if you don't have Jesus, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And so what is your excuse? What is your excuse? Because not one excuse, as legitimate as you may think they are, it's not going to be sufficient when you stand before the Lord. Hello? And I just want to encourage you, don't allow anything or anyone to keep you from accepting the invitation to come to Christ so he can save you and you can follow him. Some of you this morning need to put an end to all the excuses, because God's invitation supersedes all that you can come up with. And Jesus is saying to you, come, for everything is now ready. He's inviting you today to come and be saved. He's inviting you today to come and receive forgiveness of your sin. He's inviting you today to come and have the assurance of heaven. And no excuse, no excuse. There's no special excuse that you have that's going to make you, God, look at you different. No excuse is going to hold up. Accept the invitation today and make Jesus your Lord and Savior. God, help us to go invite people, even when they have excuses, just keep inviting them. Keep inviting them. Number two, we need to go immediately to people. Unsaved people. Go immediately to unsaved people. The servant came back in verse 21 and reported to his master that the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly. Say quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And Jesus is saying to us right here that we need to go to people immediately. Go now. Go now. Go with urgency. Don't waste time, because Jesus is coming soon. There should be an urgency in our churches today. There should be an urgency for us to go out and reach the unsaved. There should be an urgency for each one to reach one. I think that the day that we live in right now, and I'm talking about the church, we're more urgent in doing things in life that are more pleasing to us than pleasing to God. We're more urgent in trying to get home before the game starts. We're more urgent to try to get on social media instead of trying to share the gospel with somebody. We're more urgent at running here and running there and not even noticing that God is putting an unsaved person in our path for us to share the gospel with. God, give us an urgency. Give us an urgency for the unsaved. Stir this church with an urgency. Stir this preacher and every person in this church with an urgency for the unsaved. Because if we're not careful, we become more urgent about earthly things, worldly things, than eternal things. I've heard this said before many times, that if we're not careful, we get so heavenly minded, we miss out on earthly things. We get so heavenly minded that we miss out on some earthly things that God is doing. But I don't think that's the problem at all. I think the day that we live in, we're more focused on earthly things and we're missing out on some heavenly things that God would want to do around us. And so we need to open our eyes and be careful not to be focused with the urgency on doing earthly things instead of eternal things. And if we're not careful, don't miss this, please. Don't miss this. We can become urgent only if it benefits us or comforts us. Oh, I'm urgent as long as it benefits me. If there's something that I'm going, if there's going to be a benefit that's going to come my way, oh yeah, I'm urgent to do that. Or if it's going to bring comfort to me, I'm urgent to do that. But if it requires me to step out of my comfort zone, no. Somebody else can handle that. Where's the urgency? Where's the urgency for unsaved people? Thank God somebody was urgent to come and share Jesus with me. Thank God somebody was urgent to share Jesus with you. We should have urgency because hell is a real place. If you ever get a chance to read any books or any testimonies about General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, I highly encourage you to just read some of the testimonies about him and his wife. I mean, they were just an amazing couple that had a heart for the lost. In fact, General William Booth, he had a school of evangelism that his people would go through after they were converted, and he would teach them for a little over a year about how to share the gospel. And he told them in one graduation, he said, you know what? You've been with me for over a year learning about evangelism, but here's what I wish I could do. I wish I could dangle you over hell for 5 minutes and let you get a glimpse of hell and what's going to happen to those that are unsaved. And that right there would stir an urgency in you to go out into the streets and win as many people as you can to the Lord. He was trying to stir an urgency. And I pray that for our church. If we truly love God and are walking in God's love, we should have an urgency to go to people immediately that are unsaved. Don't wait. Don't wait. Sometimes you wait and it's going to be too late. And then you're going to have to live with that and go through that. Don't listen. If you know they're unsaved, just go immediately and know the Lord is going to help you because you're in His purpose. Go to Him immediately. Think about it. Hell is real. Just share the gospel with them. If they receive it, praise God. If they reject it, knock the dust off your feet and keep praying for them and move on. God help us to go immediately. And finally, I want to tell you that we need to go inspire people. Inspire, go inspire unsaved people. In verse 23, it says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Compel them. It means to inspire them. It means to persuade them. It means to plead with them. You want to know what that looks like? Paul gives us a demonstration of what it looks like in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Listen to this. We beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We beg you. He's trying to inspire them. He's pleading with them. He's persuading them. He's compelling them. Come to Christ and be reconciled to God. Plead with them. Persuade them. Appeal to them. Compel them. Let them feel the urgency that if you die without Christ, you are doomed. Hell is real. Your soul is real. You're going to live on forever in eternity, either heaven or hell. Inspire them. Go to the unsaved people. When you look around and see an empty chair beside you, let that inspire you to go to somebody. Because Jesus said, I want the house full. I want the house full. Compel them to come with the love of Christ. You can't force them. You can't be violent with them. You can't debate them to Christ. You can't argue them to Christ. Only with the love of Jesus Christ can you plead with them. Compel them with the compassion of Jesus Christ. You will never walk on the campus of any college. You could start right here at UMO, University of Mount Olive, and think you're going to debate your way and win somebody to Christ or argue your way with somebody there that might be claimed to be an atheist or agnostic or whatever it may be. Only by pleading with the love of Jesus Christ coming out of you, inspiring them to come to the Lord. That's going to be the way that seed will be planted. That'll be the way you win them to Jesus Christ. And we inspire them to come to Christ by praying for them. Who are you praying for? Are you, each one, reach one starts by praying for one. I ask you to write down that one name, that one name, that one name. I got that list on my little office there at my house. And you know, I told you to write down one. I wrote down five. I told my son last week, Caden, I told everybody in church, get one box. He got two. I got home, he had two. I said, get one. Why'd you get two? He said, because there's two guys at my work. So if you need an extra box today, after they're all, you grab one. We compel them to come to Christ by praying for them, by pleading with them, by sharing the good news with them. And God does the converting by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not the ones that's going to save them. We just lead them to Christ. This past week, he was here Wednesday night. He's not in the service this morning. He was in the hospital last night. Young man on the phone on Wednesday, this past week named Jakari. And Jakari was lost. I mean, way low in a dark place. And over the telephone, I had a chance to lead him to Jesus Christ. A sister from our church had connected with him and got him on the phone. And he gave his heart to the Lord. He came Wednesday night. We prayed for him here. And please pray for Jakari. He's got a lot of physical issues going on right now. But friend, listen to me. He was in a dark place and the enemy was at work. But it was through the phone call that there was some compelling going on, some inspiration going on, some pleading going on, some persuasion going on. And he finally said, you know what? I need Jesus to save me. Guess what? We all need Jesus. We all need the Lord. Pastor Kevin, if you will come, brother. Each one, reach one. Let me just say this while they're coming. To anyone that is here today and you've been making excuses, hello? Well, I have a legitimate excuse. No, you don't. No, you don't. God's invitation supersedes any excuse you could ever have. And your excuse is not going to hold up or stand up on the day of judgment. The Lord is telling you today to accept his invitation. Once again, out of his mercy and out of his grace, he is sending another invitation to you. That's how much he loves you. He sent one then. He sent one back then. You rejected it. You had an excuse. You rejected it. And one more time, because he loves you, he's extending you another invitation today to say, come to me. Come to me and let me save you. Come to me and let me forgive you of your sins. Come to me and let me give you new life that you will be born again. Come to me. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. Everything's ready on his end. How about you? How about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? What are you going to do with the invitation? What are you going to do? You can either receive it in faith, or you can either reject it and offer another excuse. What are you going to do? Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Nobody moving around. Nobody looking around. Please. Christians pray. Christians pray. Friend, Jesus loves you. And he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to have the assurance of heaven. But it starts by you receiving the invitation to come to him. And you do that by faith. You do that by faith. And you trust in what he did for you and me on the cross. You trust in what he did as he rose from the grave and conquering death. You trust in him. You repent of your sins. That means there's a change in you, a change of mind, a change of heart that will change the direction of your life. That now by faith you are repenting of your sins and you're receiving Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior. You're trusting in the blood that was shed on Calvary for you and for me to wash away our sins. Friend, stop with the excuses. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. But today, you want to receive the invitation to come to Christ. You want to accept it. You want to be saved, born again, and know that your heaven is your home and Jesus is your Savior. Would you do me a favor? Nobody looking around, but would you be bold enough right now in this moment just to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to know. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Don't be ashamed. Would you lift your hand where I can pray? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Is there anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, son. God bless you, sir. Would you pray with me, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to have that assurance, would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, I need you to save me. Save me from my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for taking my place on the cross at Calvary. I deserved it. You willfully took my place, Jesus. You took the punishment, the shame, the suffering, everything. I deserved it, but you took it in my place and you shed your blood that my sins could be forgiven. And today I repent of my sins and I receive you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again and you conquered death. And you're my living Lord. I confess it with my mouth today. Jesus is Lord. Pray that. He is Lord of my life. He is Savior of my soul. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And today I receive that invitation. Come on, friend. Make that your heart prayer right now. Make that your heart prayer right now. I receive you, Jesus, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And I thank you for the hope of heaven that I now have and the peace that I have with you, God, through Jesus Christ, my Savior. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for that eternal life. Thank you, Lord. 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 If you prayed that prayer today, would you do me a favor right now? If you prayed that prayer today, right there where you are, would you just lift your hand up real high where I can see it? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you back there. God bless you right here. God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I want to invite all of you to stand with me right now. Just stand with me. I'm going to leave you with this challenge. We're going to make this an altar call right here. Each one, reach one is going to require all of us to go outside of these walls right here. Each one to reach one is going to require us to go and share the gospel, to compel people, to go invite unsaved people, to go immediately to unsaved people, to go inspire unsaved people, and to do it with urgency. I don't want you to leave out of here today, as Billy Graham would say, and you would say, oh, what a wonderful message we enjoyed. What a wonderful service we enjoyed. I want you to leave out of here today that you're lining yourself up in the purpose of God, that your life will be used for the glory of God, and that you would go out and each one would reach one, that you would live your life in the purpose of God. Do you know this morning that in order for you and I to do that, there has to be a desire to do that? There has to be a desire to do that. And we have to admit that sometimes we lose that desire. We lose that desire. I don't know why we lose it, but sometimes we just lose that desire. We lose that strength to go out and win the lost. We lose our urgency. So here's what I want you to do. Right there where you are, right there where you are, I want you just to turn that chair into an altar. And would you pray with me, Lord of harvest, Lord of the harvest, would you place a desire in me that I would reach people with your love, with your good news? Put a desire in me, God, put a strength in me, put an urgency in me, God, that I would walk in your purpose to reach those that are unsaved. Would you pray with me right now, right there where you are? Just begin to pray. Lord, we come to you right now and ask you by your Holy Spirit, Lord of the harvest, that you would just put in us, place in us, give us a desire. Give me a desire. Give this church a desire. Each one to reach one that is unsaved. God, give us that desire. It has to come from you. It has to. So God, we just pray that you would just put it in us right now, impart it in us by your Spirit, a desire to reach the lost. And God, give us the strength. We need strength to do it, God. We need strength to do it, God. Give the church strength to reach one that is unsaved. And Lord of the harvest, I pray right now that you would give us urgency. God, stir an urgency in me. Stir an urgency in this church. God, stir us. Give it to us right now. Give us an urgency, God, to go to those that are unsaved and share the good news. God, we're receiving that right now. We're receiving that right now. I receive it. Come on. I receive your desire to see people saved. I receive the strength to do the purpose of God. I receive an urgency right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just keep praying that and declaring that.